if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings, welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. This is our 2023 Waste Management Phoenix Open and Singapore Classic tips podcast. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss our selections for this week's PGA and DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews. We've got strokes gained analysis for the Waste Management Phoenix Open, tournament form statistics, which include combi and current form merged, plus, of course, PGA and DP World Tour predictor models. All of these features are completely free of charge with no paywall. We're on Twitter. I am at Bamford Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel where this podcast is available, along with my weekly golf betting show. And finally, let's talk Apple reviews, shall we? Five-star reviews. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need those five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. Have to make a point. This is our last review. This is the last one I've got in the stockpile, so we need fresh five-star reviews this week, please. On top of that, Spotify, we are inching towards 300. I think we're over 290 now. So please, if you listen on Spotify, just press that five-star button. That's all you need to do. So get the reviews in. Right, this one, entitled New Year, same great podcast. Love the show. Three very knowledgeable, likeable guys and some great guides and tips for each tournament. Good luck for the year ahead. And that is short and sweet. And from Robert, and he is in Glasgow. Thank you, Robert.
Yes, thank you, Robert, and good luck yourself for the season ahead. Let's hope it's a good one.
I don't intend to talk too much about last week. It was an absolute ball's ache, I thought, from start to finish. I thought it was going to be, Pebble was going to be like, wind finder and their wind forecast this week. I suppose this is the danger of being by. It was going to be calm. It was going to be sultry. It was going to be like 33 under par. Next thing you know, they go out on the Thursday. It's blowing 35 mile an hour gusts. It was just a complete and utter. It was black and white, really, from where I wanted it to be. But it was. I thought it was great to see the old world number one in Ryder Cup. Yeah, and we keep talking about it, and you're going to see a lot of this, listeners, Ryder Cup players that come back into form and hit the heights again. Justin Rose on this. I mean, I was praying it was Seamus Powell. But no, Justin Rose came through all of the terrible wind, rain, everything that was thrown at them, and won very, very comfortably. Now, that must put him back on the radar, back into the world's top 30, did I read? Up to it was either 29 or 39.
Yeah, into the Masters as well. Nice little congratulatory tweet from Luke Donald as well. You know, this Luke was there to see the action unfold, wasn't he? So, So yeah, that's a big statement from Justin Rose, and he played really well. You can't deny it; he was outstanding, particularly on the Sunday, Monday, as it ended up being, to finish the job off. Particularly after having not won, was it 4 years or so now? I think they said on commentary. So yeah, really good stuff from him.
I suppose if you're being chased down by Brendan Todd and Denny McCarthy, it all puts it into some kind of perspective, doesn't it? Well, yeah, if it was John Rahm and Rory McIlroy, he might not have slept quite as well.
Yeah, maybe. But then, you know, equally, he's made the putts that have pushed him far enough ahead to be able to, you know, to not have to go full pelt at the end to win the tournament.
You know, it's very nice professionally done.
yeah, it's nice to be able to step onto a par five at the end with a 3-shot lead and just play it.
Hit 9-iron off the tee.
Yeah, just play it as a 5-shotter and try and get there, get your par. Doesn't matter if you make bogey, does it? Job done. But yeah, shame about some of the picks. Harry Higgs annoyed me because he was in decent position after round one. He bogeyed the last on Pebble Beach after the second round, which would have taken him into a position a shot off the lead going into the final.
You love that, didn't you, bogey on the last?
It's got to be.
Three of my four did that in round one.
apart from making a double bogey on the last, bogey on the last is my absolute pet hate. So, particularly on a par five, come on, Harry. But yeah, it was a disappointment. Seamus Power, all three of us were on Power, weren't we? And he hit the lead at one point, didn't he? 10 under, looking good, and then put the brakes on and just went horribly backwards from that point.
Bogey, double bogey from being joint leader.
Yeah, it's not ideal, great. Is it? Not ideal.
But yeah, so Justin Rose back in the Ryder Cup mix. That must give encouragement to the likes of a Francesco Molinari. Luke Donald's going to be looking for a balance of experience and new talent. So Rose has put his hand up. What about the DP World Tour action last week, Paul?
Yeah. Barry, were you going to say something then?
No, I was just saying it was poor timing for Seamus with that squall that came in. No matter how much experience you have in those conditions, it can always get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And missing a 19-inch putt can kind of tell you where, how bad the wind was. I didn't actually see the putt itself, or B, how much that kind of wind can get in your head when you're putting. So it's just, it was frustrating to have a couple of, because I was on Higgs as well. I loved the shout, and those two getting up there and in the game gets you a little bit excited, and then they just kind of melt away. And it's, you're looking straight away to next week.
Yeah. Disappointing, but we move on. We move on.
I tell you what, boys, we didn't talk about, this was my fault on last week's pod, we did not talk about Max Homan nearly enough for that victory at Torrey Pines. Barry, take it away for 25 seconds on Max Homan. How he played and your thoughts on Max moving into the major season.
I mean, it was kind of exactly like we expected it to happen. You know, the way he plays classical golf courses, can manage his way around difficult tests. It was glaringly obvious to pick. And then it was one of those rare weeks that it worked out according to how we thought it would work out. So, I mean, it's super impressive. If he goes on and wins the Masters, like I've made an early shout on, or the US Open, it'll be such a foretelling victory at that course, because it has such a, there's so many analogies and crisscrosses in the Venn diagram that you can draw between Torrey Pines and winning a major. So it's like part one of the script has already been written for the year. So let's just see, can they finish out part two with a major win?
And the US Open.
It all makes sense.
And the US Open's in California, isn't it? So,
Los Angeles Country Club, yeah.
That's where he seems to be playing and doing his best, playing his best golf, so far in his career. Four of his wins there, aren't there? So, very impressive, Max Homer.
Justin Rose, another major star to do the Torrey Pines Pebble Beach double. On those Poana greens. Right, quickly, Paul. DP World Tour last week in Ras Al Khaimah. What did you make of that?
Yeah, well, never boring, is it? From a betting perspective, Ryan Fox again, slightly off it, I guess, and finished a couple of places outside of the, or a couple of shots outside the each way places, which was disappointing because he could have pushed on. But in terms of the finish, wow, Daniel Gavins ended up with a 3-shot lead after Alexander Bjork had bogeyed the 18th and then very nearly blew it on the last. Par 5 again. It went in the water twice and then had to hole a 25-30 footer on the last to make a seven, which ultimately was just enough. But he admitted himself that he thought that that was to make the playoff. He thought he'd blown it. So it kind of, in his mind, I guess he's probably relaxed at that point because he thought, well, I've just thrown the tournament away. So went out and bangs the 25, 30 footer in and still manages to win by a shot. It's madness. You know, I didn't see what the trading would have been like on those final few minutes, but wow, that must have been up and down like a proverbial yo-yo. Even Xander Lombard at the end, he had a chance. He was on the green for two, similar kind of length putt to what would have been to tie it. I mean, I dread to think what prize Xander Lombard would have been at the point that Gavin's had a 3-shot lead and Lombard was way behind. It was utter madness on the DP World Tour.
Gavin's a long hitter.
No.
So it went against the bomber narrative, but Xander Lombard, he's an absolute brute off the tee, isn't he?
As is the want of the DP World Tour, the setup was far more stringent than it had been the previous year. They'd tightened the fairways up, they'd thickened the rough. It materially changed the way that the course played and the kind of players that it appealed to. And, you know, there was a lot of grumbling, and quite rightly so, on Twitter. You know, on the PGA Tour, you get an awful lot of information. You get a lot of data. You get the fact sheets from the greenkeepers. You've got people like Rob Bolton who keep you up to date with the field changes. There's stacks of information and data out there. On the DP World Tour, it's a mystery because you turn up on a Monday and there'll be a, you know, sometimes the card of the course, sometimes there's not, there's no information about changes or anything. So you have to go and research all of this and hope that you've landed on exactly the right information. And then you turn up on a Thursday and typically they change the par or something, or lengthen it by 600 yards or short by 600 yards.
Oh, DP World Tour.
Grow the rough out to 4 inches. You know, whatever the curveball is that's thrown at you that particular week.
You've got to laugh. You need to get yourself down to Surrey, Paul. Have a meeting with Keith Pelly.
Yeah, bang some tables.
Do you realise, Keith, if you can do the basics and give people basic information like the course yardage and where they're playing? And
yeah, it'd be nice. It'd
be so much better. Let's move on. We've got a packed show. I mean, the Waste Management Phoenix Open, it's like a mini major. The first of one of these enhanced, boosted tournaments. Rahm, McIlroy, Scheffler, Xander, Patrick Cantlay, Tony Finau, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas. Now, you were talking about thickening the rough at Ras Al Khaimah. Mm. It would appear that they've done the opposite this week in Phoenix. They've cut the rough from 2.5 to 2 inches. So they must fancy a Justin Thomas win this week. JT for the win. I haven't put him up. But this is going to be an absolute... it's going to be a highlight of the year, undoubtedly. With this field, with this course, with the 600,000 plus spectators... They don't actually now give official attendance numbers for some reason. There was guesstimates that it might have been over 700,000 last year.
Yeah, it's
packed. Maybe that's why they don't give them out. But it is absolute mayhem. It's brilliant. And I just love this golf course. And I love the way that this golf course, year in, year out, the way that they can get the setup correct to get greens. Guess the Barry, greens that release over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Fast running fairways. Now it's proper golf on a relatively short course that's played at altitude to make it even shorter. And it's just a climatic finish year in, year out. You just never seem to get anyone, you know, win this comfortably like Justin Rose did last week, standing on the 18th tee with a few shots in their back pocket. It's always tight and exciting in terms of the finish. So, yes, looking forward to this one. In terms of bookmakers for this week's PGA Tour Golf Action, we're highlighting Bet365, who, as ever, have their each way extra market available, which gives you the option to increase or decrease the number of places when you are betting pre-event on the Waste Management Phoenix Open to win market. I have used their 8 places each way at 150 odds market specifically. Right. Right now, as we record the pod, they are offering market best odds and 8 places each way on Rory McIlroy at 9-1, Scotty Scheffler at 14-1, Xander Schauffele at 16-1. It's great, isn't it? 8 places each way and the best price. Tony Finau at 20s, Sung Jae Im at 25-1, Sam Burns at 50-1. I can keep going. We recommend Bet365 if you are 18 plus and do not have a Bet365 sports account. You can find details of their current bet £10, get £50 in free bets, new customer promotion, plus a link through to that very offer with T's and C's in the podcast description. Don't forget to use the bonus code SPORT50 when registering. Now, I believe that... brilliantly, I managed to get all 4 of my tips away yesterday on Bet365 to get that beautiful mix of good odds and 8 places each way. So that's all good. Oh, actually, I managed to get the last one up with Boyle Sports, who again, as we know, decent on their each way places. Right. Desert golf this week, chaps. We shouldn't see any squalls or 40 mile an hour gusts. Conditions look fine. There hasn't been a lot of rain in the air. I know that sounds ridiculous for Scottsdale, Arizona, but you do get plenty of downpours in these parts in the winter. From what I can glean, it should be your typical TPC Scottsdale conditions. So pretty firm on the fairways, plenty of run. And then greens that come Saturday afternoon and Sunday start to actually earn a little bit of respect. The golf course, 7,261 yards in length. It's a par 71. I categorise it as a desert golf course, a mid-score golf course. So we're looking at scores 15 under up to 16 to 18. It's also played at altitude, so we've got thinner air, so players are going to have to be standing there working out their yardages based upon the fact that the ball flies further. And I also categorise it as a short golf course. I mean, you've got 7,261 yards and you've probably got 7, 8, 9% of help with the thin air. So there's plenty of maths going on. I mean, we're effectively looking at a sub 7,000 yard par 71 this week. Fairways, nice and wide. 28 yards at 300 yard carry, which is very similar to Pebble Beach last week, actually. But actually, 3 to 4 yards wider than what we saw at Torrey Pines South a few weeks ago. Of course, the difference here is effectively a sub 7,000 yard golf course as opposed to 7,700 yards at sea level, which we saw at Torrey Pines South a fortnight ago. I'm not seeing anything like Phil Mickelson's eye-watering 28 under winning this. As I said, 15 to 18, you're not going to be far away. And let's talk Waste Management Phoenix Open winners. Scotty Scheffler, 16 under last year. We were on board at 30 to 1. His first it sounds ridiculous. That was his first PGA Tour victory.
It's mad.
He just went on that tear, didn't he?
Yeah.
Winning everything in sight. Brooks Koepka, 19 under. In 2021, a little bit softer that year. Webb Simpson, 17 under. Webb's a little bit of a fly in the ointment if you look at these. Scheffler, Koepka, Fowler, Woodland, Matsuyama. Simpson, not a beast off the tee, but back at that stage, he was playing probably the best golf of his career. Came here off of a third place at the Sony Open, and he ended the previous fall on 2 straight top 10 finishes. He was hitting the ball moderately long, straight as a die, gaining strokes off the tee and in terms of total driving. Came here, magical approach game. That's Webb Simpson. Made plenty of putts. I did mention Ricky Fowler. I did mention Gary Woodland, 2 friends of the podcast. Hideki Matsuyama, a 2-time winner here, 16 and 17 those particular years. Going back then to Brooks Koepka in 2015. So there you go. You've got 2 double winners, Koepka and Matsuyama, since 2015 here. I'll also throw this in it because I found this fascinating. The official world golf ranking of Waste Management Phoenix Open winners recently. Scheffler was 15 in the world, Koepka 13, Simpson 11, Fowler 14. So by my reckoning, that is the last four winners all within a band of 11 to 15 in the official world golf rankings. Strange but true. Gary Woodland was 53rd. Hideki Matsuyama was 5th in the world in 2017. That, to me, gives me a slight bit of encouragement that we won't see Rory McIlroy, John Rahm domination this week. And with this competitive field, with basically a full list pretty much of the best players in the world, I wouldn't expect it to be a Rahm McIlroy walkaway job. I think it's going to be tight, it's going to be competitive. The greens, they are of interest. They are large. 7,000 square feet on average. They feature Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. But before you go running to the Bermuda settings on your predictor models and on your all of the statistical models that you use, they are overseeded with Poa trivialis and ryegrass. They used to be overseeded with a mix which included bent grass, but that bent grass has disappeared over recent years. So Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass with Poa trivialis. They're effectively the exact same makeup of greens that we saw a few weeks ago at the American Express. It's desert golf, so warm during the day, very cold at night. They need that overseed to protect the green surfaces. There are a number of greens or courses that use that mix. I think Copperhead's another one down in Florida. So, yeah, that's where we're at. I'm really looking forward to this one. I'm looking for players who have had excellent greens in reg, excellent total driving, excellent strokes gained on approach metrics, over recent outings. That's exactly where I'm at. I've included Ricky Fowler in my tips.
Spoiler alert.
What can go wrong? I think Ricky Fowler this week is going to be very, very, very popular. Well, he should be. I'll talk to the Ricky Whisperer in a small... In fact, why not? I mean, I've gone 66-1 with Boyle Sports. Ricky Fowler, a point each way at 66-1. Now, Paul did mention this off mic. He was priced up with Bet365 for a nanosecond when the first odds came out. Each way extra as well, 100-1. I kept scanning and scanning and scanning and scanning. I'm like, well, I must have missed him. And then I got to 100-1, Ricky Fowler. 8 places each way with each way extra on Bet365. And my instant reaction was, that is not going to last. Paddy Power are at 50-1 on their first show. So 50-1 Paddy Power, 100-1 Bet365. So we kind of got to the middle point. 66-1 in the end with Boyle Sports, 8 places each way. If there is one golf course that Ricky Fowler absolutely adores, it is TPC Scottsdale. Second in 2010, 13th 2011, second 2016, fourth 2017, 11th 2018, and of course, that eye-watering victory in 2019. This season so far, he ranks top 20 in total driving, top 10 for ball striking. And I know that all of our eyes lit up on the Saturday and Sunday at Torrey Pines South, a golf course he cannot get on with whatsoever. Bad, 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 bad record at Torrey Pines South. In fact, this is how bad it is. At the Farmers, miscut 61, miscut, miscut, miscut 66, miscut 53rd, miscut. He then finished 11th there a fortnight ago. 17th for off the tee, 9th for approach, 10th for putting. Give me Ricky Fowler at 66-1. I'm in.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I thought that putting performance, if you look, that was his best strokes gained putting performance for very nearly 12 months. And when Ricky Fowler putts well, he is extremely dangerous. There's things happening with Ricky. We've talked about it. We've mentioned it a few times in the podcast. Yeah. Back end of last year, as you said, sixth at the Fortinet, second at the Zozo. There's, you know, he's getting closer and closer, but yeah,
constantly work, effort. Constantly working with Butch.
Yeah.
Butch Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's coming.
It is starting to, he'll see the fruits of his labour, I think. I missed that 100 to 1 myself. I really wish I'd have been right on the bottom of that. But that was a ludicrous price. Never, ever going to last, as you said. But yeah, I mean, you in as well, Barry?
Yeah, sorry.
Barry was in last week.
I was. But there's a lot to like about what's happening with the game at the moment. He's gone back to a happy place where he's won in the past, shown lots of good stats here. So why not? Let's get on board the train.
Yep. Why not?
The rest of my three, bearing in mind the average winning price here is 41 to 1. If you go back to 2010, it's 47 to 1. So we're sub 50 to 1 on winning price. The rest of my tips are all sub 50 to 1. So if you've got anything bigger or around Ricky's price, can you two just go through those tips now for me?
I haven't. I've only backed one more, but he's shorter than that.
Okay. Barry?
I have one and he's longer than 50 to 1.
Good on. You go.
So, on the whole, very good ball striking required, and strokes gained, tee to green being kind of a key. I've gone for Corey Connors.
Yeah.
Nice kind of disparity in price shown between Paddy Power and Bet365. He's 70 to 1, Bet365. I haven't dug into the differences in the prices yet to actually place the bet, but I kind of like that merging of ball striking quality and price. He's had a couple of great tee to green performances there in Hawaii. Let me pull it up here. I mean, he was over 80% greens in reg for both the Century Tournament of Champions, which is not the craziest thing in the world because the greens are quite big there. But at the Sony Open, he had 84% of greens in reg, which is he's hitting the ball very well with his irons. So let's see, can it work out?
Just needs a neutral putting work.
Yep.
My last eight tournaments, my metrics. I'll read you the top seven. Strokes gained tee to green over the last eight tournaments, both DP World Tour and PGA. Tony Finau at 7. Corey Connors at 6. There you go. Scotty Scheffler at 5. Max Homa 4. Rahm 3. Colin Morikawa 2. Rory McIlroy 1. So he's rubbing it with the big boys. And he's the biggest price by a mile of those seven. So I get your logic 100%. I think his victory as well was TPC San Antonio, which is down in Texas. But again, another rugged, you miss fairways, you're in cactus bushes and rocks and all of this kind of vegetation. So yeah, makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you one player that pops out wherever I look on that 8-week metric and who must be a huge price this week. And he's a winner in the desert many, many, many years ago. And I'm still scrolling. This is good. I'm still going. I'm past Gary Woodland. I'm going to ignore him. Johnny Vegas. He started the year brilliantly, tee to green. I'm seeing up to 300 to 1 available on him right now, on Johnny Vegas. Lucas Herbert's another one that's playing well, isn't he, Paul? Played very, very well over in Dubai.
He is playing well, yeah. He's been tinkering with his shot shape seems to be coming the right side of that. Seems to be improving as a result of it. So, yeah, back-to-back third-place finishes over the last couple of weeks on the DP. And he played the Asian Tour last week, didn't he?
100 to 1 with Unibet.
Yeah, I did look. He's got missed cut here as his only effort, but he's playing materially better golf right now. So you'd expect him to improve on that.
I'm going to 28-1. I managed to get on this individual. Bet 365, 8 places each way extra. Sung Jae-im. Now, this is going to come across as crazy, but I'm just reading the facts here. Look at the data, and the last five winners here had won their last professional tournament 30 months ago, Scheffler on the Corn Ferry. 19 months ago, Brooks Koepka. 20 months ago, Webb Simpson. 23 months ago, Ricky Fowler. 3.5 years ago, Gary Woodland. So you've got elite golfers there that have had no victories for quite a prolonged period of time. So Sung Jae-im fits perfectly everything I'm looking for. He's had some decent total driving performances so far this year. His approach play at Farmers a fortnight ago was absolutely top draw. I think he was in the top four for strokes gained on approach. He's a desert winner. He won at TPC Summerlin in Las Vegas in 2021. He won the Shriners. And it's just when you just look at his record, it's a plethora, an absolute plethora of great performances on desert tracks at altitude. I'm not going to read them all out. We could be here for 5 minutes. It's just an excellent record. Now, his form here is underbaked. A 7th, a 34th and a 17th in three outings. But he's playing some great golf right now. A little bit under the radar. Player that hasn't won for I think it's approaching 18 months. 16 months. That TPC Summerlin victory. So I'm in on Sung Jae-im. The sort, I think, that can contend at 28-1. My others are 20-1, both of them. So do you want to squeeze in there, Paul? Who have you gone for?
Yeah, very simple. It's just my Hideki auto bet on the Phoenix Open. 21st at the Century, 48th at the Sony. He did shoot a third round 65 in there as well to flash a little bit of form. 9th at the Farmers last time out. His weekend was decent, right up there with some of the very best. 69-69. 4th, the strokes gained putting was caught my eye as well. When Hideki's putting well, you have to take notice. And that was his best putting performance since the Sony Open the year before. So again, just over a year since he'd produced that kind of putting performance. Twice a winner here. We don't need to go through his record. His record here is absolutely outstanding. He loves the place. It's a very straightforward one for me. Just the two this week, Hideki and Ricky Fowler over in Phoenix.
Actually managed to straighten the driver for the first time in months at Torrey Pines.
He did, yeah. 9th for strokes gained tee to green as well, which, again, you know, when he's putting well and he's back to his bread and butter in terms of his, you know, his core competencies, then I think you have to sit up and take notice, particularly when he goes to a course like this that he absolutely loves.
What did you get? 35-1, 33?
33, yeah. 33 with 8 places. Again, I thought that was worth taking in this field.
The one I couldn't resist towards the top was Colin Morikawa. I was trying in my mind, and this is what I tend to do, I was always finding a reason not to put him on my tips. Excuse me. Still got a cough. Although, you'll be glad to hear, listeners, I've been to the doctors and we are dealing with the cough. It is slowly getting better. So that's, we're 9 weeks in. Might not have a cough soon. Anyway, I was trying to find a way of not putting Colin Morikawa into it. And in the end, I'm like, just put him up, Steve. It's too bloody obvious. In my 8 week numbers, he's 3rd for strokes gained off the tee. He's 2nd for strokes gained on approach. He's 2nd for strokes gained tee to green. He's in the top 7 for strokes gained putting. I mean, we're talking Colin Morikawa here.
Yeah.
And he ranks tied 2nd for strokes gained total in my analysis over the last 8 tournaments. Behind only one player. It's not John Rahm, it's Rory McIlroy. And I saw him at 20-1. I thought, that's crazy. He was 14-1 a fortnight ago at the Farmers Insurance Open, which is on a 7,700-yard golf course. I think it's ultimately a little bit too long for him. He finished in the fourth, he finished? Nice week. And I know this sounds crazy, but we're looking potentially for golfers that haven't won for a period of time. Well, Colin Morikawa, he's had a player of his winning mentality. His last win in the United States was almost 2 years ago at Concession, the World Golf Championship. His last PGA Tour win was the 2021 Open at Sandwich. And his last professional win was the 2021 DP World Tour Championship at the Earth Course. That's mad. So he fits the narrative absolutely 100% in the crosshairs. And in my mind, I'm thinking, the trouble with Morikawa is I don't quite think he's long enough off the tee to win this. And then I thought, well, Webb Simpson's won here. And then I just glanced at Morikawa's strokes gain numbers the one time he played here in 2020. He was first for strokes gained tee to green of the whole field. And he putted like Colin Morikawa can sometimes putt.
Yeah.
He was 21st. He was second for strokes gained on approach, first for tee to green. So I'm on Morikawa at 20-1. He's absolute perfect in terms of the narrative for this. I've gone 2.25 points. And the other one I just couldn't turn away from is Tony Finau, because he's just playing some great golf right now. We did see a year here where it was the year Matsuyama defended. He'd won in the November of the previous year, came here and won this, defending for the first time in his career. Finau won at the end of last year in Houston. Seems to be quite a lot of carryover between Memorial Park and here. And when I look at a course list of correlating courses, Augusta, Colonial, any kind of course I look at that has a list of winners here that have done well at those courses, Finau's all over it like a rash. So I'm on Finau as well. 2.25 points each way, 20-1 again with Bet365 each way extra. Don't forget with Tony, from Salt Lake City in Utah, he lives apparently 10-minute drive from this golf course. So don't tell me he doesn't use it as a practice facility at some point. And he's got that perfect West Coast record. He's done well at PGA West. He's done well at Riviera. He's done well at Torrey Pines. This is what you're looking for winners that ultimately... I mean, it's Gary Woodland, effectively. Gary Woodland had exactly the same kind of CV. Players that have done well on the West Coast. The thing with Finau is he's never won in his backyard. He's never won, and he's come so, so close. He's had two playoff losses, one at Riviera and one here to Webb Simpson in 2020. So I think Finau as well, and again, a little bit under the radar, which is perfect for Tony. I could see, this is another crazy fact. Kenny Kim actually put this on Twitter yesterday. He couldn't believe this, but it's true because this comes from at Nosferatu on Twitter. At the moment, Tony Finau is behind Chris Kirk, Tom Hoagie and Hayden Buckley in the Team USA qualification for the Ryder Cup. And as we say, that just keeps tinkering with these elite players. They know when they need results. I think Finau is going to go well this week. I really do. So Finau, Morikawa, I've got Sungjae Im, I've got Ricky Fowler. We're all on Ricky Fowler. Paul's on Hideki Matsuyama. Have you got anyone else that you're going with, Barry, before we move on to Paul's event?
Not at this moment, no. Still trying to figure it out. I was looking at it. Why is Tyrrell Hatton popping in my head? Any reasons? I mean, like on strokes gained approach, which he's not ordinarily great at, he's showing up in your 8-week tracker.
Yeah. He was very, very visible when I pulled those numbers together at 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, and he's playing some half-decent golf. You never quite know with Tyrrell, do you?
I don't think he's ever played here, is he? This will be his debut, I believe.
No, played four events, 2019.
Okay, so he's played four rounds around here. But yeah, very, very busy. You're getting a good price on him as well.
That's what's kind of catching me. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
He's currently sitting 12th in my Strokes Gained 8 tournament tracker. Level with Corey Connors, would you believe? And what price? Did I say 50 plus on him?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's interesting. It's only just, you know, the search for a little bit of value somewhere, because the field is phenomenal. It's going to get a lot of eyeballs on TVs this week, I hope.
Yeah. But yeah, the name Tyrrell Hatton finishing inside the top eight wouldn't feel out of place, even in that level of, you know, quality of field. He's well capable.
And it's not as if he can't play desert golf. You look at his, you know, look at his UAE record.
Yeah, you're great at the earth course, yeah.
Right, let's move, Paul.
I might have to FOMO back it. Now that I've said it, I might have to just back it.
That's it.
Don't forget as well, Barry, we are coming into Florida soon. And he has got an excellent record, Tyrrell Hatton, in Florida. So if he can keep this level of strokes gain numbers being that kind of positive, I think he's going to be well worth a bet down in Florida. There's no doubt about that. Right, DP World Tour time. We are moving. We're going to Singapore, Paul.
We are.
At the end of their rainy season. It sounds absolutely perfect timing from the DP World Tour. Take it away, the Singapore Classic.
Yeah. Let's hope the rain subsided a little bit. But heading east, eastern towards the equator, aren't we? Towards to Singapore. First time we're back there actually since 2014. Last time we were in Singapore, that was when Philippe Aguilar won the championship at Laguna National. You may remember, it's a good job we didn't do the podcast back then, because the following week I think I'd have been having a right rant. But that event, I was on Anders Hansen at 45-1. You may or may not remember this. He finished second to Aguilar, who finished birdie eagle. And he holed out Aguilar from the fairway for eagle on the par 5 last to win by one shot. And I had Anders Hansen in second. I was a little disappointed that week, I think is the polite way to put it. But that's how golf betting goes, isn't it? Anyway, this week we're playing on the course next door, so it's slightly different to that event that was played here, or played on this estate 9 years ago. I'll go through the course in a minute or so. Field first, Ryan Fox, Bob McIntyre, joint favourites this week at 16-1. They've both been pushed out a bit. They both opened at 12s, and there's not been a great deal of love for either of them so far. So they're both drifting. Jordan Smith, 20-1. Adrian Arnaus, who's been playing some good stuff, 22-1. Alexander Bjork, 25-1, runner-up last week, as I mentioned at the top of the show. Adrian Ategi, 28-1. Antoine Rosner, 33s. Johannes Veerman, who's been well backed, 35-1. 40-1 bar that list of top, what, seven or eight players. Boyle Sports this week at eight places each way, a fifth of the odds as their standard market. Of course, as Steve said earlier, Bet365, well worth a look. They have their each way extra promotion running on this event. Again, you can select eight places each way, a fifth of the odds, or various other options. And again, their prices are very, very strong. I, like Steve, have placed the majority of my bets this week with 365 simply because the terms and the prices are amongst the very best you're going to get out there. In terms of the course, as I said, there are two tracks here at Laguna National. There's the Masters course, which is the one they used in 2014, and then for a few events before that as well. And then there's the Classic course, which is the venue for this year. I've included the results from both on the stats pages this week. And then just marked the one with a note to say it was actually at this course. So do bear that in mind if you're flicking through the data this week. The Classic course, this week's venue, did host an Asian Tour event back in 2015. And that's included in the stats this week for reference, although not many players here played it.
Your old favourite, Paul, Junhong Wang, came third.
He did, yeah. Wang was the standout of the players that are in the field this week, Wang, I don't think anyone else made the cut of the field that are here this week. So, yeah, it's pretty sparse, but it's there for reference anyway. And Wang has been well-backed as a result of that piece of course form, as you'd expect. I think it opened at 140-1. So I expect if you fancy a bit of Wang, he's going to be... he's going to be 100 to 1 or shorter by the time he goes off. Anyway, the course, nicknamed The Beast. It's an Andy Dye creation. Andy Dye is Pete's cousin. Pete Dye, of course, is far more famous and well-known for his tracks over in the US predominantly. It's a hilly 7,420-yard par 72. It's built around five lakes and water features. A tough course, Paspalum grass has been used from tee to the green surrounds, and then it's Bermuda grass on the greens is the information I could glean from the course this week. Let's hope that is 100% right. In terms of the weather, fairly typical for this part of the world, hot and humid, chance of a thundery shower. It has been their monsoon season. It has been wet right up until this weekend. When I first looked at the forecast for this week, at the back end of last week, it looked like we were going to get four relatively dry days. But as the tournament's got closer, it's got progressively worse. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's, particularly if there's any electrical activity, if there's any delays this week. I'm sure we're going to see lush conditions. I'm sure we're going to see some juicy rough out there as well. And juicy rough on an already tough course is likely to make it... a little tougher still, I expect. In terms of the winners here, well, we only had one, don't we? Dantai Bunma won here at 2015. He was 2 under par. Only one other player finished under par back then in 2015. It did play as a par 71, and there have been a few tweaks and changes to the course since. We're playing as a par 72 this week. But even so, I expect it is going to play relatively tough. In comparison, Philippe Aguilar, who I mentioned, he won on the adjacent course at 22 under par. So two very different winning scores, two very different levels of difficulty in terms of the two tracks that sit side by side. We do have some data from that Asian Tour event, which is positive. Often you go to these kind of secondary events and there's nothing there, but there is. There's data available. The top four finishers, they ranked 45th, 28th, 3rd and 14th for driving distance for the players that actually made the cut. So a real mix there. It is a relatively long course, but judging by that, and Boonma was 45th. He was the player who ranked worst for driving distance out of those four. He eventually won. So I can see an argument for length being required here, but I'm not entirely sure. We've seen some of these really tough tracks. The one in India springs to mind, that SSP Chaurasia won. Now, Chaurasia hits it about as far as you and I, Steve. But he went and won on this ridiculously long course over in India because it was so tough that it required an entirely different skill set to actually get round. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is a similar kind of task this week. We shall see. I mean, I could be wrong and the Bombers could really prosper here, particularly on a soft, receptive course. But I've not gone down that route. I've not given it absolutely full beans for the Bombers this week. 80 to 90% of fairways was commonplace, actually, if you look back in that 2015 event. The median greens in regulation, though, was around about 65%. So you didn't have to hit it particularly long. Everyone was hitting fairways. Everyone was struggling to hit greens. The eventual winner, Bunma, and second place, Nicholas Fung, they ranked first and second for scrambling. I think scrambling, how you perform around the greens, that could be the biggest clue to how this event pans out.
Barry and I are logging into the DP World Tour predictor and maximising scrambling as we speak.
Absolutely, yeah. You'll probably see a few names that I've put up as a result of it, because I think that is the way that this will pan out. We shall see. No, there's no strokes gained stats, of course, from back in 2015. The only thing to really pick out of the data is the scoring breakdown. Bunma, he produced just 12 birdies on the week, 8 bogeys or worse for his 2 under par totals. So just 12 birdies. I mean, we see some events where the players are getting 25, 30 birdies. So 12 birdies is the polar opposite to that. Nicholas Fung, he got 1 eagle and again 12 birdies, balanced by 13 bogeys for his 1 under total. So super tough to score on back, 8 years ago. In terms of the top 4 finishes, no one got better than 3 under par in the par 5. So the par 5s, again, didn't really make a massive difference. The par 3s were incredibly tough. Only one player in the entire field shot under par on aggregate for the par 3s. Boomer, the eventual winner, he was 4 over par for the par 3s. Fung was 4 over par. Sam Brazel, who was in 4th place, he shot 8 over par for the par 3s. So I think these short holes are going to be particularly tough. So a player who is comfortable and good on the par 3s, can scramble well, I think that's going to be a good starting point. So you might want to bump up par 3 scoring on your predictor as well, just to get a okay. view of that as well. But yeah, I boil it all down, tough course. I think we're going to need players who can handle that this week. Unless the course throw another curveball at us and soften the course up and turn it into a birdie fest. But I'm not entirely sure that a course that's called the Beast is going to be allowed to turn into anything other than a tricky.
I love that nickname, Bob, this week. The Beast.
The Beast.
It reminds me of when you and I used to go regularly for Pizza Hut buffets. I think that was your nickname, wasn't it? The Beast. When you were going up for your 12th slice.
Yeah, the Pizza Slayer.
Pizza Slayer. The Beast. And then going back and pretending to work in the afternoon.
Go for a sleep. Yeah. Anyway, I've backed 5 players this week. I think all of them have got some decent merits here for one reason or another. I'm starting this week with Adrian Ategui at 28-1. Ategui won at Valderrama in October by 6 strokes. And on a tough course, that was an impressive performance. That was his 4th win at DP World or European Tour level over the years. He did nip off to LIV, didn't he? He played 3 events on LIV last year, but he's seemingly back on the DP World Tour now. And he's got a chance of making the Masters if he can improve on his current world ranking. He's 74th at the moment. As we know, a lot of the LIV players are sliding and slipping down those rankings. He needs to get into the top 50 by the start of April to get himself into the Masters. And a win and a couple of decent finishes, even with the lower points on DP World Tour, I think he can get mighty close to that. He's got a great short game, Ategui, which is what really caught my eye. 5th for strokes gained around the green for the season to date. 5th for scrambling as well. And that's for the short season so far for 2023. For the full season 2022, he was the leader of the scrambling stat for the full season. Those stats don't lie. He's really, really good around the greens. 26th last year for par 3 scoring. Again, it's got to be a positive. Hasn't missed a cut since winning that Andalusia Masters tournament back in October. He was 2nd at Leopard Creek as well in December. He came very close to winning that event won by Oki Strydom. So in some decent nick. 3 decent spins to start 2023. I think he's ready to push on this week. And I think he's the most likely winner, Adrian Ategui. So 28-1, quite happy to take him. Also back, similar price, I backed Alexander Bjork, who finished 2nd last week. Another, for me, who ticks a lot, if not all of the boxes. Now, the reason I put him 2nd on my list rather than 1st is that the only question for me is how he react after finishing 2nd last week. He produced a 3-putt bogey on the last. Of course, he wasn't to know that Daniel Gavins was going to make a real mess of the final hole. So if he'd have managed to hold a putt then from 30-odd feet, he'd have won the tournament. If he'd have 2-putted it, he'd have been in a playoff. But he really went for the putt, knocked it 6 feet past and didn't make the return putt. And in the end, finished a shot shy of what would have been the playoff. So ultimately disappointing, but I think he's got to take a lot of positives away from his week. He was really good. All aspects of his game looked really, really strong. And if you look at his one win back when what was the European Tour at the time, China Open in 2018, that came after finishing 3rd the week before. So he does have previous from this kind of contending performance, then win the following week progression. And progressive form as well so far in 2023. 28th at Abu Dhabi, 16th in Dubai, 2nd, as we said last week. So he's moving in the right direction. 9th for par 3 scoring last year. Decent enough around the greens. Lots to like. 4th at Valderrama back in 2021. That's on a tough course, of course. Finished 2nd at the DP World Tour Championships later that year. So that's far better form than most players here can boast. And, you know, I think he's got a decent chance to push on after last week's effort. Personally, we shall see. So that's two relatively short prices. The rest a bit longer. Marcus Armitage, the Bullet, at 66-1. I backed him. Again, he's been quite popular in the market. I expect he'll go off around about 50-1. So if you can see a price on Marcus Armitage and you fancy a bit of him, then grab that sooner rather than later. He won the Porsche European Open back in 2021. That was with an 8-under total on the tough track. It was, I mean, a lot of the players likened it to a US Open that week. They did play really quite challenging. He won by 2 strokes. Got 4 wins at lower levels as well, all of them between 8-under and 11-under. So I think these more stringent, tougher tests really do suit a player like Armitage. Relatively slow start in Abu Dhabi, 67th, 28th in Dubai. He did lead the field in Dubai for scrambling. That's what caught my eye. That was on his last start. And it'd be no surprise for me to see the Bullet fire once again this week. Terrible pun there. Also at 66-1, I've backed Gavin Green. Missed cuts at Abu Dhabi and Dubai from his first two events this season. So that'll put a few punters off, I'm sure. Closer to home now, he performs much, much better when he's closer to home, which I'll go through some of his results in a second. We know how well he was playing at the back end of 2022 as well. He's 2nd on the Asian Tour in Singapore on a nearby track to this. 2nd a week later to Max Kiefer at the Czech Republic, in the Czech Republic at the Czech Open. 2nd again to Jordan Smith at Villamora. Did very little wrong that week to finish 2nd to Jordan Smith, who just absolutely nailed everything, holed everything for those, yeah, that one standout week for Jordan Smith. But yeah, Green did very, very little wrong. Great short game as well. 12th for sand saves, 4th for scrambling for the full season last year. Four professional wins. All of them have come in this kind of neck of the woods, I guess you could say. 2nd in Malaysia. Two wins in Malaysia, rather. A win in the Philippines, a win in Taiwan as well. So this event in Singapore should feel right at home, I think, for the Malaysian Gavin Green this week. And then finally, longest price of the lot, I've also backed Jamie Donaldson at 100-1, and he still pops up every now and again, Donaldson, with a decent finish, typically on a tougher track. That tends to be where his best results come nowadays. No win at all now since winning in Thailand back in 2015, but as we said before, breaking these long winless streaks seems to be right in vogue at the moment. Justin Rose was another example of that yesterday. Relatively recent times, 8th at the Belfry, 6th at the Golf National, 2 relatively challenging tracks. Steady start to this year. All of his 8 rounds so far have been between 68 and 72. And I quite like that. I quite like that as a pointer. There's no massive disasters there, just steady golf. And if you come into a tough track, that maybe will be the way to conquer it this week. 38th place finishes at both Abu Dhabi and Dubai so far. I think he's the sort who could potentially tame the beast this week. We shall see. So then my 5, Donaldson, Green, the Bullet, Marcus Armitage, Bjork and Adrian Ategi. Anyone catch your eye, Barry?
I don't know how you do it, Paul, when there's so many unknowns.
They're probably playing the course next door now in the DP World Tour.
you don't want to know. You don't want to know how many.
So rather than tight and technical, this will be 29 under par by the end of the week.
I checked the number of times, and then just before I published my preview, I was like, I'm going to have to check again that they're playing the classic course. If they end up playing the Masters course, you may not see me next week.
The European Tour wouldn't have to do much work at all if they requested a agronomy report from the head greenkeeper of each of the courses they're visiting. Fill it out. Here's a survey. Fill it out in the format of the questions we ask. And then you get a very standard course report and you publish it to your website every week.
Yeah. And, content, and
they're
isn't
not,
it?
They're not even having to do much work there. They're getting it from the greenkeepers, you know? So, and then you have a consistent agronomy report for everybody who's interested in that week on week. Yeah. Anyway, if they're listening, it's a free idea, European tour. So, I'm messing around with the predictor model here and just find maybe one or two bets that I think are value. I like the Gavin Green shout, the kind of wider fairways, Paul. I'm not sure if I'll jump in on board. The other one that kind of got me slightly was Fabrizio Zanotti. Extremely high in scrambling for his few measured rounds this year and has a win in Malaysia in 2017. So, like, it's a deep reach for him to envisage him winning, but he's up over, where is he, 75s? I think I have to kind of figure out the best kind of price and places. I'll probably just take the most amount of places available, to be honest, because if you grab anything out of the week, I think that's a win. Other than that, I'll probably stay away from this. Just seems like it could be a very messy, easy way to lose money.
Yeah, there's a lot of unknowns. You know, in a way, sometimes these are the more rewarding ones if you can pluck out a winner. But equally, you can get burnt, can't you? If you've got it all wrong. Hopefully, it pans out the kind of way that I've seen. But we'll see.
Anything I'm going to have small stakes on Fabrizio Zanotti.
Yep.
Because I'm seeing exactly what Barry's seeing. 66 to 1, bet 365, 8 places each way extra. On the same model, I'm seeing Marcel Schneider?
Schneider, yep.
He's very, very prominent. 50 to 1, I'm going to take Coral, 7 places each way. And I'm following you in on Adrian Ategi. I think he's perfect for this course.
Yeah.
And he's got that motivation. Yeah, we've got this thing going through about LIV and the DP World Tour in London at the moment, about what's going to happen with that. Ategi's clearly mailing his... Well, I suppose he only got a short-term contract with LIV, but... He's a winner since he came back. He's so close to a master's spot. And he could actually be a thorn in the side of Luke Donald, you know, Ategi. He could be one of these guys that actually gets right in the Ryder Cup mix.
Yeah. He's not a million miles off.
He's
only
going
to take a win or two. And
Relatively low quality field. I can see that. So Ategi, Schneider, Zanotti.
Yeah.
I'm with Barry on Zanotti.
Yeah, no, there's logic there. Just from the way that he plays his game, he is more of a grinder than a scorer, and that could well be the way to get it done this week.
If it is the course next door and it's 28 under, I will be asking you for a full refund on my statement.
I think you and many others.
Either that, or I'll be driving down to Surrey and waiting by the gates, demanding my money back from the European DP World Tour. Is that us, chaps? Are we done?
All good, yeah.
Excellent. Yep. I wish the best of luck on your bets. I wish the listeners best of luck on their bets, of course. To close, don't forget, 5-star button on Spotify, and we are out, completely out of 5-star reviews. So spare 30, 45 seconds, write us a review. It's more than likely I'll be reading it out at the start of next week's show. I'll see you then. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. Because it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf Betting System.